In this country, we have a system of education that rewards you with a piece of paper made of parchment. And from 12 years in the public school, they give you a little piece of paper called a diploma, a high school diploma. And from our years in post-secondary education, otherwise known as college, or graduate school, or trade school, we receive a piece of paper that is called a degree. And it tells the when, the where, the who, and the why. It has the seal of the institution from which we are graduating, having spent 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, or 6 years or more. And those who are high ranking in the institution put their mark on the diploma. If you are entering the job market and you are interviewing for a job, you fill out an application, and one of the things that they will often ask you to produce is references. And sometimes they want letters of reference. And they can be letters of reference that either vouch for your character or your experience and abilities. Again, this letter is signed by someone who is in a position of credibility that says that you are who you are and you can do what you say you can do. If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you turn with me to the letter Paul wrote to the 2 Corinthians. And it is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's just going to be a slender slice of scripture because we're only going to look at 4 verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. And Paul starts out by saying this: Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to stand and say what thus saith the Lord. We pray, Father, that we might cut the Scripture straight, cut it true, cut it accurate. We pray, Father, that those who are listening may have their lives and their hearts changed, energized, strengthened, corrected, to be what you would have us to be. Father, for those who know you not, that they might be drawn to you to know what the power of salvation and the gospel of the cross of Christ is all about. That there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That there is a thing called sin and it pays wages. And you told us in your word that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that your word is proclaimed in such a way that it is done in such a way that even a young child might understand the truths of Scripture. Woo us. Strengthen us, correct us, teach us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Paul's day, just to give you a little perspective, if you go back to the last verse, verse 17 of chapter 2, it says this: For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Paul, when he was going about to the different churches preaching the gospel of Christ, did not go without opposition. There were those in his day who were called the Judaizers, and they were those who had a false doctrine that they were promoting. And what they would basically say was this: Well, yes, Christianity is good and Christianity is fine, and knowing the way and the power of the cross and understanding the plan of salvation and accepting Christ as Lord and Savior is okay, but there is a little more. You see, because we have this Old Testament that we've been going by for hundreds of thousands of years, and it has been our standard in how to live the life. We've got this thing called the law that was given to us by the paradigm prophet, which means Moses. There was nobody else like him, and he went up on Mount Sinai, and he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came back with tablets of stone. We have a replica, a facsimile on the wall to your left, and these were the basic tenets in which we are to guide our lives by. We have the Old Testament law. So that new stuff, that Christianity, is okay, but we don't want to forget the Old Testament law. So it's Christianity plus something else. And there were those who walked around and corrupted the Word of God and did it for selfish means because the only way they could do it was by deceiving people in order to make money. They were preaching for profit. Not that you would profit from their preaching, but that their wallets would get fatter and their bank accounts would grow larger. And Paul says, we are not as those who corrupt the Word of God, but we do what we do as in the presence of Christ, as if Jesus, and He is, actually watching us Himself. What you would do in that day is, when you would travel from place to place, and no one knew you from Adam, and you would show up in town, and no one had ever seen or heard of you before, here's what you would do. You would have a letter that was signed and sealed by someone in authority, and it would vouch for your character, and it would vouch for your ability, and it would vouch for who you were. And so what these Judaizers were doing was, as they were running around boasting that they had letters from important people in the Jerusalem church, and they'd say, see, I've got my letter. It says right here who I am. And the whole idea is, you know, things really haven't changed that much, because how many of you let strangers come into your house and spend a couple of weeks because they just happen to be in the neighborhood? Well, I was going to be in Highland County and around Greenfield, and Debbie, I was just wondering if I could stay at your house for a couple of weeks. I have a letter here that says I am a person of good character, and, you know, it's signed, and this proves that I am who I say I am, and it'll be okay, right? Or I'd go to Roger's house and say, Roger, I have another letter here that says that, you know, before I leave, I might want to spend a little time at your house, and these are my credentials. And so the Judaizers said, see, we've got a piece of paper that says we are who we say we are. Therefore, you can believe us. And the reason why was is that they wanted a little help. Oh, by the way, Debbie, what time is dinner? You know, I'm going to be dining at your house, so we want to make sure. And Roger, what time will Lisa be home? And does she take requests? Or, you know, I can just take whatever you guys are having. I'm sure Jacob, we can spend time together. But, you know, basically, you didn't stay in a hotel because there weren't any. You didn't stay in a motel because there weren't any. You stayed with people in their houses. And so people would come and travel around, and they would bring letters to prove that they were who they were for their lodging and for their journey. So Paul says in verse number 1, that there's three things that we want you to think about as you look at this text: signed, sealed, and delivered. There's three things we want you to think about that Paul talks about letters, and he draws a contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He draws a contrast between laws that are written and laws that are lived. And Paul says there's three things I want you to understand from my perspective, that the Judaizers say that they have letters, but I want to let you know that I also have letters. But the first thing is, my letter is personal. The letter that I have is personal. Because what he says is, in light of the controversy going on, he says, do we need to be recommended again? Do we need to bring this up again about this whole idea of this letter business? Do we need letters of commendation saying who we are to give to you? Or do we need letters from you to say who we are? He says, you know, the Judaizers, the false teachers, are running around saying that, you know, we've got letters. And he's saying, do we even need these letters? He says the first thing is, the letter that we have, the contrast is, he says, the letter that we have is written in our hearts and it's known and read of all men. And our thought for today is known and read. Known and read of all men, because our lives are an open letter. And even if we think people aren't paying attention for all kinds of reasons, they are. And sometimes the more we try to get out of the limelight, the more attention we draw to ourselves, because people wonder, well, why is Charlie and Libby hiding in the shadows? What are they doing over there? So you think that by drawing away into the shadows, you will draw low attention. you say, we're going to go under the radar, we want to be out of sight, out of mind, people go, well, now, what are they doing? Beverly, when you drive by, check out, is the car there? And Gary, when you go by, see what time he leaves in the morning. And Jerry, when you drive by, see what time they come home in the afternoon. And we want to know. We want to know what's going on because they seem not to want to be drawing attention to themselves. My point is, people watch people. I worked for the park, and I was trained to watch people and ask questions about their behavior because sometimes it was questionable behavior. And so I would just sit and watch and look, and I'm looking for certain things. Well, hi there, Debbie. How are you? What's that beside you? Oh, how'd that get there? Well, let's hear your version. What are you doing? Oh, just sitting by the campfire. Really? And? Well, that's all. Just sitting here having a nice evening. And? Nothing. Just sitting here with my family by the campfire. Right underneath your chair, there's a container, and it doesn't say Pepsi. Really? How'd that get there? I don't know. How do you think it got there? I think I just fell off the turnip wagon, so you tell me. Well, one of the kids must have put that. There's nobody here but you and your husband. When did one of the kids come by? My point is trained to watch people and ask questions. I always like to walk up and play dumb. Miss Beverly, what are you doing? Nothing? Really? Why do you think I came over to you to talk to you? You were just passing by? You? Not just passing by. You caught my attention. Known and read. Our lives are letters that are known and read. And you know, it's funny. People have their public lives. People have their private lives. I know a woman who told me, she said, you know, what I do in my house is my business. And I'm thinking, really? Now, a lot of people say, well, what I do behind closed doors is my business. And I'm thinking, what? So God pulls the window blind when you go into your house and says, we don't need to check that out, and just kind of, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and what? The glory of God and the power of God and living for Christ and have a testimony for Christ, it's not supposed to happen at home? Sad to say, sometimes people are very nice when you see them here on Sunday. They look nice, they smell nice, they act nice, you know, they treat each other well. But don't follow them home, because as soon as the door is closed, things change. It's like a wind came through the room and changed everybody's attitude. I mean, people were smiling in public, and they're not smiling when they get home. And they were talking so nice to you, Jacob. Now, son, I want you to listen to me. But when you get home, now look, boy, I am sick of that. And you're like, is this the same guy that was Father of the Year? My point is, people think that, you know, when we're home, we can be who we want to be because that's who we want to be. But I don't think we're ever off duty as Christians. I think we're always called to be Christians. Now, the problem is there's two kinds of people that live in our houses. People that are saved and people that are not saved. And if we are saved and we're supposed to be, I think the phrase is, a candle set on the hill cannot be hid. Men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. I think the whole idea is, what is that song that say? Jesus the light of the world. That's it. And supposedly, when Jesus is in our heart, he shines through our lives. And it's kind of weird when Beverly says that she's next best thing to sliced bread when it comes to being a Christian, except when she's at home. And so for those lost people who live in her house, not that this is true, she just happened to be sitting in the front row. They go, now you're telling me how great the Christian life is. But as my grandmother said to me one day, you know, if we can't get along, one of us needs to leave. Well, since it was her house, I got the message that she was not saying she was going to be moving out. She also used to say to me, if Christianity doesn't work at home, it doesn't work anywhere. So there's no need in you standing up front and running your lips about how good a person you are and how much God has done for you and you're just so filled and sanctified and whatever. But when you come home, you treat people like dirt. You don't show any respect. You don't act like you got a brain. You're very rude, insensitive, uncaring, unfeeling, unresponsible. Not that that was true, I'm just using myself as an illustration. But my point is, if we're not going to be who we should be all the time, people who are watching who think that maybe there was something to what we said in public but never see in private will go, they have a name for people like you, Gary, or Gary. They call people that wear the mask hypocrites, pretending to be something that we're not, because we are known and read. As it comes to having children, they say more is caught than is taught. You got three daughters sitting there, and you tell them all kinds of things, but they also watch what you do. The problem with some parents is this. They don't keep in the back of their mind, they should be aware of what they say and do and how their children are watching, because it's amazing. The apples don't fall far from the tree. My mother looked at me one day and said, She said that a lot, but this day she added something to it. And I'm like, what? She says, I didn't realize you were so much like me. You have not only some of my good habits, but a lot of my bad ones. Now, did my mother sit down and say, now sit down, son. Today I'm going to teach you how to do this in a bad way. Now, you just do what I do and sit down, practice. If you got, yeah, now, that's it. That's my boy. That's the bad habit I'm looking for. No, my mother didn't have to sit down and teach me how to do bad things. She just did bad things, and monkey see, monkey do. You know, she said, boop, 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 boop. Well, I'd someplace and I'd boop, 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 boop. And I'd go, where'd you get that? My mother. Your mother? What kind of mother you got? More is caught than is taught, known and read by all men. But Paul goes on to say this, you know, it's not this fancy schmancy public showing that I've gotten letters that the Judaizers were saying, you know, therefore I've got street cred. I think that's the slang term they use. You know, I've got street cred on the street. They know I'm somebody because I got letters. I got proof. My peeps, my people, my homies, they know what's going on. You're going to like, what is he talking about? People on the street know who I am and respect me for what I've done because I've got letters. Paul said it's not about letters because these people are all hooked up on the letter of the law. He said it's not about the letter of the law. It's not about the Old Testament law. We're not even involved in keeping that because a greater than the Old Testament law has arrived. And that is the letter that is written in our hearts. He said the old law was written on tablets of stone. And I can give you the law, but that doesn't mean I'm going to change your heart. He said the thing about the gospel is it changes you from the inside out. He goes on to say, you know what? We don't need letters from you. We don't need to give letters to you because in verse number 2 he says, you are our letter written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You see, this church was founded by Paul. These people were saved to Christ through the preaching ministry that God gifted him with. These people were called to be Christians, taught to be Christians, and were living as Christians because of the effects that God had been able to use using Paul in their lives. So if anybody needed to stand up and testify, he'd just say, well, look around. I don't need anybody to give me letters. You guys are my letters. When people look at you, they see the power of God. They see what God has done in your lives because he's allowed me to be a part of your life. So I don't need any letters. You are my letters. They were caught and some things were taught. So he says, I don't need any letters because you are my living letters and everybody that sees you, no matter where you go, I've often asked this question. I think commandment number 5 says, honor your father and your mother. And there's a promise attached that says that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now my question is, Jacob, when you are at home as a child under the care of your parents, is that what it means when the Bible says, honor your mother and father? Or does it mean that when you are a married woman, like Miss Lori, who's got her own family, that she's still supposed to honor her mother and father because of the principles that they gave her and the examples that they lived in the life that they lived? Or does it mean, like Marjorie Cook, when your parents have been gone a long time, that now you don't have to honor your parents, you can go and do what you want to do, even though there are still people around who remember your parents? So do you bring any dishonor on your parents as an older person, as a middle-aged person, as a young person? Or does honoring your parents mean it's something you do all of your days, all of your ways, because it's the right thing to do? I say it's all of the above. It means all of your days, all of your ways, because it's a testimony to who they are and what they've done for you and what they meant to you. Known and read by all men. I always run into people who say, I knew your grandfather, I knew your father, I knew your mother. And they tell me what great people they were. Now how does that make me feel if I'm running out being stupid? Because they're going to go, what happened to you? You know, your dad, he was on the ball, he had his stuff together. What are you doing? I know you were taught better than that. What did you do to the family name? There's not enough water and salt between all the dirt all that you've drug it through. Known and read of all men. Our lives are a testimony. But you know, more so than the effect that parents and teachers and friends and relatives have had in our lives, he says, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. We represent Jesus. The Puritans had a phrase called practicing the presence of Christ. When do you practice the presence of Christ? My question is this. Does where you are change who you are? Does where you are change what you are? And I say, as a Christian, the answer is always no and no. We always want to be who we are. We always want to be what we are, no matter where we are. Because if people are looking for an answer, and we live in a world that is looking for answers, we got it. We have the answer that the world is looking for because of what Jesus Christ has did and is doing and will do in our hearts. Because He's changed our lives. Does it mean that we're outside of the circumstances that touch the rest of the world in our country? Does it mean that we're not affected by what happens and changes people's lives in a good or bad way? No. We go out and we live in the same world that they live in. We experience the same hurts. We experience the same plights, the same problems, the same perils that they do. But when they look at our lives, we've got an answer. We're not wandering around like, I don't know what's going on. I don't have any answers. I don't know what to do. Let's just throw our hands in the air. Let's just run around like Chicken Little and say, the sky is falling! The sky is falling! Let's make like the little boy says, woof! 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 We've got answers. And the answer is in Jesus Christ, because we are living epistles of what He has done, is doing, and will do in a person's life. If you know the power of Christ, you know what He's done for you in the past. When you've been sick, and you've been made well. When you've been down, and He's brought you up. When you faced hard times, and He's blessed you. When you were lost in sin, and He saved you, and He saved me. And you know what? If Jesus never did anything else for us, than die on the cross for our sins, to bring us back to God, and that's all He ever did for us as long as we live down here on planet Earth. The question is that enough? Is it enough that Jesus died for you and me? Or is there more? Oh, there can be so much more, but if Jesus only did that one thing, and He did, that's enough. Signed, sealed, and delivered. And Paul goes on and closes by saying this. You know what? Everything that happens, because you guys are my living epistles, because you guys are examples of the grace of God. In verse 4 he says this, and such trust we have through Christ to Godward, which means it's only God. Only God can change a life. Only God can save a life. Only God can make a life. Only God can lead and guide a life and help us to be what He wants us to be. You are writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. Just what is the gospel according to you? Known and read by all men. What gospel are we sending out? What's the message? Is it about the saving power of Christ that can save to the uttermost, that can do everything but fail and lie, that gives hope in the midst of a hopeless situation, that glorifies God and brings glory to God? And people look at our lives and they said, that Charlie, that Libby, how long they've been married? That's the grace of God there, buddy, because I'm telling you, that's the only thing that can make that thing stay together. And Sister Beverly, coming up on the big 3-0, people looked at him back in the day, well, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to. And here it is, coming up on 30 years. Only the grace of God. And any achievements that we may have as young people, do we do it in such a way that gives glory to God? If we're playing sports, we have musical abilities, or if we can write, or we have talent to sing, or whatever it is, do we realize that God has given us the ability and we do it for His glory and for His good? And whether the world accepts it or rejects it, we're doing it for the glory of God. Just what is the gospel according to you? Is it pointing to the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the saving power of Jesus Christ? Known and read by all men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, reminding us that we're like the newspaper being carried, and you change the headlines every day. And people look at our lives and situations we find ourselves in, whether it's a good one or a bad one, and they're looking to see, does the story remain the same? Is the Christ that we say we serve when things are going well the same Christ that we serve when all is lost? When we have our Job moments, when we get bad news and bad news and more bad news, do we stand like Job and say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord? Father, we pray and hope that the life of Job is an example of things going well, things going bad, that we can stand like the Apostle Paul and say, whether I'm abased or abounded, whether I have much or suffer in need, I have Christ, and that's enough. Father, may our gospel that people read be one that reflects truly who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.